about Cheshire, where the Cheshire Cheshire's house boundaries have standards only 2/14/1973, hashtag 2530 Work Session. 9:30, 209.
Special meeting of the House Committee on Special Responsibility will come to order. We're considering the draft of House Bill 2530. Common Cause submitted some more suggested changes, which we will consider as they arrive. Grant, will you go through the bill with us? And as in all our work sessions, it's very informal. Everybody talks all the time. So.
Okay. Before we even get into it, the bill says that it amends ORF Chapter 171, and it chucks the belief system when we get to the point of passing out. I presume that's what we're going to do today, that would rather strike the existing statute and replace it with this, because what you're doing is putting on about 14 pounds of legislation on a 2-pound statute or something along that relation, as opposed to taking and putting that into this. You've got a great dose differential. So you end up just striking that and substituting that, which we can do with a technical amendment. That's all I would
say. My only question, Chuck, is does this stand alone? Why don't you come up the table? Bring your chair up.
If
Norma will be there, why don't you go there? Bring your chair over.
Mr. Chairman, this draft, as you well realize, is not in such form as you could use to submit it with your committee report. It needs to be done in amendment form. And when I get around to doing that, I'll put it in form, which you don't have any.
And then it will stand alone.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So the section one would be reworked when Chuck put it in. The second sentence of the original preamble, which was the legislative assembly defined that to preserve and maintain the integrity of the legislative process, that is necessary to the identity, expenditures, and activities of certain persons who engage in efforts to persuade members of the legislative assembly or the executive branch to take specific action, either by direct communication to such officials or by solicitation of others to engage in such efforts, be publicly and regularly disclosed.
We took out administrative, but we put it back in somewhere else.
What we did was put into the definition of
lobbying.
Legislation. We put in there the question of formal rulemaking proceedings of state agencies. To cover that, we still got something left out. When we get down to those, we're still missing boards and state agencies. We find that what they do, we don't have them. Okay, section 3. As used in this act, unless the context required otherwise. 1. Consideration means a gift, payment, distribution, loan, advance, or deposit of money, or anything of value. And include the contract, promise, or agreement, whether or not legally enforceable.
I don't understand that language. But I guess I objected to it the other night when they...
Is it part of the same payment and distribution?
No. Not my understanding that there is. It's the distribution of the payment, isn't that... I'm not sure what that language means, though.
It's in the original bill, I don't
know. What does whether or not legally enforceable mean?
Bill, what that's in there?
No, I'm in.
I
wish
planning board posted comment.
There was no comma between payment and distribution.
I would imagine it's supposed to be.
I think so too. That's the one.
The definition of legislation remains the same as one of the Monday night. Legislation means introduction, sponsorship, testimony, debate, voting, or any other official action on any measure, resolution, amendment, nomination, appointment, or report, or any matter which may be the subject of action by either House of the Legislative Assembly, any committee thereof, any joint committee of the Legislative Assembly, or any formal rulemaking proceeding of a state agency required to be held pursuant to ORS 183.335.
If we have any committee thereof, do we need any joint committee?
I wouldn't think so.
Anybody object taking out?
Which line is that?
The fifth line
of
sub 2
on page
2.
Okay, let's back it.
Legislative official means any member or member elect of the legislative assembly, any member of a commission established by or responsible to the legislative assembly, or either house thereof,
I'm going to build it.
And any staff person, assistant, or employer thereof.
Don't worry about Lincoln's back, though.
Now, if the bill stands now, you would have, in effect, using the definition of legislation and legislative official, you would cover a lobbyist who lobbied a member of the legislature, a member of the executive branch, if I'm not mistaken, only in that they would be represented by a commission. We don't have boards and state agencies. When we took out the definition of executive official, we didn't add state agencies and boards back into the definition.
No negative,
all for one.
Definition of executive official.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, under legislative official, the only ones we include are members or members elected of the legislative assembly and any member of a commission. And that's who these people, that's the lobbyists, lobby. They're lobbying legislative officials.
I think we were talking about lobbying people. We were talking about lobbying legislation.
Yes, right. But we don't.
The only reason we put the definition of legislative official in was because it was referred to back in some other subset, section 8 or 9 or something, where they weren't supposed to receive other compensation.
Chuck, do you have any?
Well, Mr. Chairman, my...
I've got a meeting at 1, but
my recollection of that matter was that in response to some discussion of this, Mr. Frohnmeyer said that if you don't have a definition of executive official in the bill, there are some lobbying activities which would be included in the bill for which there would be technically no person for the lobbyist to lobby. In the rulemaking setting, what you're doing is attempting to influence an executive department official in his, development of a rule, that governs the activities of a state agency. And if you didn't have an executive official for that person to lobby, there'd be.
Yeah, but the definition of lobbying. Legislation is, and that's rulemaking.
So that would mean that you are lobbying if you attempt to influence rulemaking by speaking to anyone about it, rather than trying to pin it down to somebody.
Well, perhaps it's the phrase for acting as a
shall receive consideration for acting as a lobbyist should be, for acting as a lobbyist should be asked consideration.
Can we do that section when we get to that?
Oh, sorry.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the reason why we're considering this is because of whether we should expand the definition of legislative official.
Is there a suggestion of how we should expand it?
Well, how, what could we use that would include agencies, boards, and commissions? Say that, agency, boards, and commissions.
Well, you've got it in there.
Yeah.
Any member of a commission, if you want to put agency, board, or commission, that would be fine.
Mm-hmm, that might be.
An agency, board, or. Mr. Chairman, had you intended then that that language apply to executive department people, or had you still?
This restricted only to a board, agency, or commission established by the legislature.
Or is responsible
directly to the legislature.
Okay, but if you think about that, all executive agency operations that are in the statute books were created by the legislature at one time or another.
Right.
And if you had intended this to apply to something other than the criminal law revision kind of thing that is really the legislature's own and not an executive department activity.
Well, what are we doing?
I think you need to say it a little differently.
I don't think we intend, and that's the thing here. I don't think we intend to direct this to the executive department. Do they?
I think that's the policy decision you need to make.
Okay. How about the Attorney General's office or the Secretary of State's office? They would be under it, certain. Any member of a commission established by or responsible. I mean, they're not part of the executive department, but would they be under this?
I think a very sort of a strict literal interpretation of it would lead you to that conclusion.
But does it matter? Because in Section 4, we're excluding them from the Act.
But
it really doesn't matter how we define legislative official, because the only reason it's in there is because of the exclusion and the prohibition.
Right.
The prohibition is the only thing that hangs, because you say, by saying no public official, that's everybody. But in the exclusion, you say no public official. The only thing you need to make the legislative official is that you say that they can't be paid for the law.
And that statement to the in subsection 4 on page 5 appears too, where it says no lobbyist shall make misrepresentation to a legislative official.
Well, because we put a period after assembly. Legislative official means any member or member elected of the legislative assembly.
Well, that again, Mr. Chairman, you could do that if you'd like, but it's quite obviously a policy decision that departs from things like staff and employees. If you did that, that would be the result, whatever you decide.
Well, I think that's important to get in.
I think we just make it agency board commission.
Let's try and see what happens. Agency board or commission.
Lobbying means influencing or attempting to influence by direct communication the passage of defeated legislation or the approval or veto thereof by the governor, or attempting to influence other executive branch action or inaction regarding passage, defeat, or veto of legislation.
Go on, did we decide to put in rulemaking, or we decided we didn't need to put it in?
That's above, which I'm
too. Oh, okay, that's right. Put it up there, I remember. I had it here as a note.
Right. Lobbyist means any person who agrees to provide his personal services for money or any other consideration for the purpose of lobbying. B.
Well, and I have two examples. I'm wondering if it's common cause of letters sent to me by state agencies, soil and water conservation, and public employee retirement system, both certainly lobbying me at the state expense. Now, do you want to?
They're excluded. I want to do that.
Legislative official.
But you know, I haven't read your letter about your children to me. I've seen that what they're doing is explaining why they either want or don't want a bill.
Yes, both on amended Article 22 will allow retirement boards and so on. Both legislative expressions coming in, and I plan to continue this letter to you at your home. I've checked that very thing.
Well, I don't think that Chris is public to stop that kind of thing, because my complaint is that you don't get enough information from the agencies on bills that affect them. I think they have an obligation to inform the legislature how the bill affects that particular agency. Where else are we to get our information?
And of course, they're always testifying at hearings. Okay, we got it.
Any person not otherwise subject to paragraph A of this section who provides his personal services as a representative of a corporation, association, organization, or other group for the purpose of lobbying. Section 4. The provisions of Section 3 of this Act do not apply to the following persons. Sub 1, 2, 3, and 4 remain the same as they were voted on Monday night. News media or their employees or agents who in the ordinary course of business publish or broadcast news items, editorial, or other comments, or paid advertisements which directly or indirectly urge legislation, if such persons engage in no other activities in connection with such legislation. 2. Any public official or employee acting as official capacity.
Now wait a minute, on 1, I think I bumped this up Monday night. I wonder if there shouldn't be a period after legislation, the first one. There are situations where somebody in the news media is also on the board of directors, let's say, for the state association, and occasionally, like Phil Bledin, they appear as he did before our committee.
Then he would speak just strictly to what they were doing in their profession.
Yeah.
When they were in the office working on newspapers and not lobbying.
But as you recall, Phil was down here 2 or 3 times on the Shield bill as a representative of the Oregon Publishers Association.
And as long as he only came and registered to testify, he wasn't a lobbyist, but this might catch him down.
Well, he'd come out of the act with the exception sub 4, wouldn't he? Limited activity is sub 4.
Okay, I think that's right.
Legislative official acting in his official capacity. Sub 4. Persons who receive no consideration for lobbying and limit their lobbying activities solely for formal appearances and testimony before public sessions of committees of the legislative assembly or public hearings of state agencies, and who, if they testify, register their appearance in the records of such committees or agencies.
Now we have a.
Shouldn't that be solely 2 formal appearances and solely 4?
Yeah. We have a woman from Eugene, I have no idea who she, what her name is, who is unpaid and down here solely for her causes, but boy, she lobbies in your office and everything else. What's her name?
We're at, on page 3. Sub 5. Any individual who receives no consideration for lobbying and has not spent an amount in excess of $6 during any period in which a lobbyist is required to report lobbying expenses, excluding the cost of personal travel and telephone and lodging.
That doesn't get my girl. I sure as hell want her to get registered.
Oh, Chris?
Why don't we just call it after
that? We have to this will be nice.
We want the capital sub to take care of it.
I don't know. She represents a lot.
Bigger women voters, bigger population. At least she pretends to.
Then she would have the environmental
council. She's not the formal. She probably is lobby. I mean, registered.
No, she didn't answer. She came in to see me yesterday on something, and I was so irritated.
She doesn't get paid?
No, she doesn't get paid.
Well, she represents herself under Section 3, on page 2, Section 3, subsection 5, paragraph B. Any person not otherwise
under
the paragraph who provides the services of representatives of corporations, association, organization, or the group. Seems to be better.
Yeah, but she comes under the exclusion.
Well, we can't very well right there.
Yeah,
that
might
be to irritate
you,
Paul.
What
do
you
say? You
think
like
she represents herself only then? That's the only way she can do it. She
can
either represent VPG or Environmental Council.
Tell her to stay away.
All right. Well, why don't you take my place down in the team and I can ride with her all the
What's her name?
Chris Edmeen.
Maybe we could get her a job.
Why not? Everybody else is on the thing.
We'll make her a public
I don't
fish.
Think
she'll still be a
Section 5.1. For the 3 working days after engaging the lobbyist.
Oh, wait a minute. I want one more question on 5. $50 during any period in which the lobbyist required. Is that quarterly now?
That's a month.
That's a month.
Or quarterly, depending on whether the session's been around.
Oh, is that how we ended
up? Yeah, it amounts up during the month up to $300 for an average 6 month session. I'll get to spend $300 during the session.
That's pretty high.
Yeah,
yeah, that's plenty high enough.
That's plenty high enough. Because that doesn't include travel, lodging, and cell phone. That's $50 a month is zero.
Okay.
Section 5. 1. Within 3 working days after engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist shall register with the Office of the Secretary of State.
Whoops. Is that where we're going to leave that?
Well, Chuck and I have been over it, and there's been a number of places in which we've made some minor changes so that if the bill were to pass, you could catch up, depending on which one gets out last, you could catch up on the Senate side and have it conform to 25-29.
Okay.
The 26 one gets out last, you can change on the Senate side.
May I interrupt a moment? Back to subsection 5 of section 4. It just occurs to me that if you say $50 during any period in which a lobbyist is required to report lobbying expenses, did you mean for the result to obtain in that case that if the lobbying activity occurs during a session, the limitation is $50 a month, but if the lobbying activity occurs during an off-session time, it's
$50
a quarter. Is that what you intend?
Yeah, I guess so. That's the way it says, anyway.
Well, right. I think that's the result it obtains.
I don't think during the off-session we have to worry about it to that same extent, do we?
No.
You're sure right there. You just... shall register with the Office of the Secretary of State, but filing with him a statement containing the following information. And here's your first common cause amendment, which would be, go in here, be the name of the registrant, C, the name and address of each person by whom the registrant is employed, or in whose interest he appears to work, and a designation by each such person as the lobbyist is officially authorized to lobby for that person. And then a new would be the first one, the description of the matters in which the lobbyist expects to lobby.
Okay. Name and address of the registrant. Then would be, and then where's the bell?
That's the bell.
Chase. Oh, Blanche. And then after the. They want to take the period off the registrant, after registrant, and add a description of the matters on which the lobby expects the lobby.
It could be that way or a new C.
It must be a new C.
It wouldn't matter.
If he...
What was the other word? We don't have a bill here, John. We were talking about this when you first proposed your amendments, and it was... What was the word that was descriptive of areas?
Generic what? I don't like that.
lawyer is listening to say, if you ask the corporation, that should be extended to describe that as a supplier of electrical equipment or whatever it is, so that the greater business is up. But that, we have no objection to that.
Okay. I don't think it belongs in A.
We can have this for each person by whom the resident is employed. And
what?
If you register to lobby for somebody, at the time you register to lobby for somebody, you put down who it is that you're lobbying. You have five different groups to indicate who you can do.
Right in there, you could possibly put that they have been paid, but you're suggesting that they're talking about things that they can't.
$50 registration vehicle bill, and I sure hope it doesn't pass tonight.
You wouldn't even have to say a pharmacist.
And when the recruiting time comes in, he hasn't been working on that bill at all. He just isn't recruiting to write it. He can get trapped. There isn't any way that that can be enforceable in a just fashion.
Okay, that's the Second Amendment proposed by Common Cause. It's titled B on their list. All those who are in favor of inserting it in the as C under section 5, clerk call the roll.
Andrew.
Aye.
Andrew.
Aye.
No.
No. No. I'd like to explain why I say aye, Bob, and that's because I think that we could possibly write something in there. I don't want to prolong it. Is there a way that you could write it in there, Chuck, without throwing that out entirely? Well, under the circumstances of nomination, he's paid the lobby for the pharmacist, and this bill indirectly affects the pharmacist. Okay. It failed, but I just...
Representative Cole had an amendment which said
Well, we locked that door. Let's find who's absent before we go in.
That wouldn't be an open meeting, then, would it?
I think that's a better way.
Okay, and then originally read, all expenditures shall be itemized, except that expenditures of $25 or less may be reported in total tax rather than in kind. And then the second clause amendment would go under number two. Such itemized statement shall list the name of any legislative official to whom or for whose benefit an individual expenditure in excess of $25 is made.
Difficult.
I think that's the way to do it. Invite a certain number of people to ignore those at another table. In that case, couldn't they just say who was there and the total amount that was spent?
And who was invited and the total amount, I think, would suffice.
Sure, I know.
I understand your problem, but if it affects all the lobbyists, then what it does is tries to reverse a practice. And if it applies to everyone equally, then it doesn't lessen.
I would think the amendment would be to your benefit. I really do.
I really do.
Section 6, sub 1, here where it just says all expenses in excess of $25 shall be itemized.
Let us know if anybody's asked first, will you?
Tell you can't find it.
Tell them lots of pepper cake with some lobbyists.
All expenditures
for individuals in excess of $25. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
$25 for the distance.
Yeah, well, no, that's a different reason.
We've come to the conclusion that there are numerous interpretations of what Section 6, Sub 1, actually means in the last sentence, or even in the common cause substitution. The belief being that the question is this, on one legislator within a reporting period, or does it mean a $25 expenditure on any one occasion? And so it would have to be resolved one way or the other, whether you want to...
My interpretation is that it is cumulative.
That's not mine.
No, it isn't mine either.
That any legislative official to whom or for whom.
What's common cause is intent? Is that one occasion or for a cumulative?
For one occasion.
Oh, well, that's simple to add that to it.
I think the individual might have to come out and grant explanation of the individual and expenditure. Yeah, that's right. I think you're right. I still move that amendment.
You can't
change the Common Cause Amendment to read, such itemized statement shall list the name of any legislative official to whom or for whose benefit an expenditure, striking individual, an expenditure in excess of $25 is made upon any one occasion.
You want to take out individual.
Yeah.
So that means in 1 month. My first experience with the lobbyist down here was so terrifying to me. That's why you never see me.
I wonder if that's
for $50 before I was elected in the coffee shop downstairs, and he disappeared before I even knew who it was.
I wonder if that addition on any one occasion doesn't read better after the word expenditure.
Then his what?
For whose benefit on any one occasion. For whose benefit on any one occasion an expenditure of in excess of $25 is made. Wouldn't that read better up there?
For whose benefit
on any one occasion an expenditure in excess of $25 is made. But that, I don't know whether that sounds fair or not. Now my understanding. Official to whom or on. To whom or on.
I like for whose benefit.
For his input. Now, my understanding is that that is not a completely new 1-6-1, is it? That's an addition to.
Right, so that the complete would now read, any lobbyist who engages in any lobbying activity during any session of the Legislative Assembly will file with the Office of Secretary of State on the 15th of each month a statement showing the total money is expended by the lobbyist for the purpose of lobbying in the preceding month. All expenditures in excess of $25 shall be itemized.
I thought that was for an individual. All expenditures for an individual in excess of $25 should be itemized.
For an individual in excess of $25?
No, that would be the next step.
You would then follow it by saying, such itemized statement shall list the name of any legislative official for whose benefit upon any one occasion an expenditure in excess of $25 is made.
Well, didn't we put for an individual up there so the Capitol Club could have their signing document?
Still have it, they just have that in mind.
Well, wouldn't that then? I hope it doesn't cost $25 a piece.
That's competitive. Oh, I would imagine it would. I'll bet it costs more than that.
You don't think we need an individual up there in that thing? We see that?
All expenditures for an individual in excess of $25 shall be itemized. You're saying the same thing.
Benefit to you?
Seems to me that the public ought to know it.
Okay.
So that's in fact, you now have three sections, section 6-1, which are the first two remain the same, and then the common cause that says, for whose benefit upon any one occasion, an expenditure in excess of $25 is made. Now, Chuck, are we correct in saying that that means there's no cumulative effect? Is that right?
No. I'm not sure I can make any official pronouncement on it, because the words are, of course, subject to, you know, it's beauty in the eye of the beholder.
But we added on any one occasion to it, Chuck.
Yeah.
Well, I would tend to think that it would.
Okay. Sub 2. Any lobbyist who lobbies during a time when legislative assembly is not present shall file with the Office of Secretary of State by the 15th day of each calendar quarter a statement showing the total amount of all monies that were not previously reported pursuant to subsection 1 of this section that were expended during the previous quarter for the purpose of lobbying. That means January 15th,
April
15th,
October 15th,
the calendar quarter. 3. Statements required for this section need not include amounts expended by the lobbyist for personal living expenses. Now, we've changed. It used to say received by the lobbyist, but in fact, we're only asking them to report what they expend. So even using the word received to fit in the first place. So then, Chuck recommends we take out no amounts received by him as income or salary. This is something that he doesn't expend. Receives it. If you take it out, and it doesn't report it. It doesn't exist as far as the statement.
I thought we settled that Monday night. Okay.
Differentiating between receive and expend. If the amount of any expenditure required to be included in the statement is not accurately at the time the type of statement is required to be filed, an estimate thereof shall be submitted in a statement and designated as such. The exact amount expended for such for which an estimate was made shall be submitted in a subsequent report when the information is available.
I wonder if that should have for which a previous estimate was made.
For which a previous estimate was made.
I don't know if it's necessary, but it kind of
previous. Okay.
Okay, now is this where they want the third one?
Yeah. To read any person employed by employing a lobbyist for consideration shall file a certified report with the Secretary of State by January 15th for the preceding year, stating the aggregate expenditures for salaries, office expenses, lobbyist living expenses, and business expenses incidental to lobbying activities in the employer's ahead.
How's the employer going to know what the lobbyist is doing?
Living expenses. In some cases it is, and in some cases it isn't. If we hire some
somebody for a specific lobbying job, then it's different from you who are on a retainer all year long.
Yes, this is why it's become difficult to write, because we have so many different classifications of persons that they're trying to cover. Same way, my other expenses go on the same way every year. And that's saying that we would have to file those. I don't know what difference it makes to the public if it costs me $500 a month or $1,000 a month to run my office.
George, somebody is working for us. I'm receiving a salary, and the clerk, he went down to Salem during the session and lobbied for our bill or against other bills. And we're going to pay your expenses down there. In addition to your current salary, because you have your household here in Portland.
$10,000 retainer to come down and lobby for this ex organization, and out of the $10,000, he pays his own. He's working for himself. He pays his own office expense, his own living expense out of the lump sum he receives.
Oh, golly! I
Broken
down, I would assume.
Mr. Chairman, as I read this proposed amendment, X Company paid me, I'm in business for myself as a lobbyist, and X Company gives me $10,000 to represent their interests here at the legislature. They have no idea how much that $10,000 I'm going to be using for these other things. And they're not paying, actually, they're paying it indirectly, but they're giving me a lump sum as a fee. So all the employer would report was he paid me $10,000 as a fee to represent the company. If, on the other hand, I'm an employee of that X company on salary, and during legislative years I'm down here and I get additional money for expenses, for living expenses and everything else, that is paid by the company, then the employer would know what those things are and could report them. Now, that's the way I read this amendment. The lobbyist isn't going to be doing anything as far as reporting these things. The employer is going to be reporting. Well, if we added
reconsideration,
stating the aggregate expenses for salary,
as you move to reconsideration,
and
I didn't, but I guess
office
to bill,
living and business expenses, if paid by the employer.
Okay. Ask somebody to vote for it to me.
We're only expecting to report those things which he's paid.
Good.
The way this thing is written.
Well, I know we're going to have to change the amendment a little bit.
Yeah. The thing I'm getting back to is my own case. My salary has nothing to do with my lobbying. And I would have to try and break out of my salary how much of it is expended towards lobbying. How much I'm curious to do.
Yeah.
Trying to conduct a lot of my business.
vision that just flashed by. I just destroyed my complete thinking. Did the pharmacist give you an extra amount and you come down here to spend for things as they perpetrate?
Office?
Office?
Yeah, because you're in a different situation. Well, do the members, such as yourself, who are on a salary, do they object to disclosing the salary? Is that what the whole problem is? They figure it isn't anybody's business what their salary is. So the question really is whether we're going to require them to disclose their salary. That's really what it was.
In this case, I would probably be the one who would be filing something for them. I'm authorized by my association to file
Well, I don't like to vote on it with Ed not here. Let's go on when Ed comes back later. Well,
Section 7 remains the same as it was originally. No lobbyist shall instigate the introduction of any legislation for the purpose of sustaining employment to lobbyists, change major like two, no lobbyist shall attempt to influence the vote of any member of the legislative assembly or any legislation by the promise of financial support of his candidacy or by threat of financing opposition to his candidacy at any future election. Oh, I think that or is on, I'm sorry, on any legislation.
Salary part, but the total expenditure of money spent by a firm for lobbying should be reported. Now the only problem is, I'm not aware of all the conversations gone on, but legal counsel is a real problem, whether legal counsel and lobbying both. I don't know how to break that apart. I just don't know how. I've checked with several people. But I think the total amount spent by a firm on lobbying a bill should be published.
By the firm,
yeah.
Let me ask Common Causes. Is the intent of the amendment that the employer merely say, for 1973, we spent $20,000 for lobbying activities,
right?
In the aggregate. Not to break it down. And why do we have those?
That would be a lot easier for me to swallow.
Stating all expenses.
What we want to avoid is the total. And reporting of things that a lobbyist has reported monthly. So that's where we include the areas of salary and other expenses that the lobbyist has not reported, monthly reported, but the employer has reported a personal salary by reporting a total sum of all other expenses that have been expended in behalf of that company for lobbying activities.
Any problem with that?
There's no problem with my thinking that I don't care what.
Let me try this on you. Any person employing a lobbyist for consideration shall file a certified report with the Secretary of State stating the name of the person lobbying for them and the total cost.
I've already filed a statement for a declaration of who's involved in the lobbying.
Pardon?
Whatever the employer is paid.
Whatever.
Well, you could do it this way, by say by report by January.
Well, he's going to list something in his income tax return of lobbying X dollars.
Well, what you would do would be by changing, by saying by January 15th, exceeding your daily aggregate expenditure incidental to lobbying activities in the employer's behalf.
How about the total expenditure for lobbying activities in the employer's behalf?
That's all. Well, maybe Chuck could do that for us.
Then I would like to also state that I see a problem then when we say part of it's for legal counsel, part of it's for lobbying, and we're going to say now you have to split that apart, and yet we have a,
the employer's going to have to make that decision.
Yeah, but we need to leave an opening there some way so that we don't throw the guy in jail if he's 1% off, too.
Right.
So whether spec, and I don't know.
Well, what,
spec
why
the salary
do you
is
split it?
Okay. Partly for lobbying or not?
Because that would be very difficult to do.
Substantially, yeah.
Because lots of times they'll bring, if anybody, any businessman has to have a lawyer in order to do business anymore, really,
sure.
Really good legal counsel. And just last night, I saw the association of contractors had a bill that was coming up, and I thought it was very important to them. And I looked up on the balcony, and I saw that their lawyer, I went to law school with, and I hadn't, so I know who he is, and he represents them. And they had brought him down here, and was he another call?
Well.
So, you know, what legal expenses are driving the lawyer down here? Is it the time that he's sitting up in the balcony saying...
Well, why do you have to separate him anyway? I don't understand it either.
If you know how much the employer is spending to get a bill passed or defeated, what makes the difference?
Whether he's paying the lawyer or whether he's paying
him. But the legal counsel is just advising him on the bill, too, and then I guess it should be included.
It would be awful, huh, John, because some people have lawyers that just read the notes and...
I don't know.
And say whether it's,
Jeff, can you take a run at that for me?
Yes, sir. I've got some language that Representative Elizabeth
can get.
If you start in that third line that says by January 15th for the preceding year, stating the
total amount,
the total expenditures for, and then skip down to lobbying activities in the employer's behalf.
Yeah, that's solid, I think.
And then cross out all that stuff in between.
Yeah. So the amendment would now read, any person employing a lobbyist for consideration shall file a certified report with the Secretary of State by January 15th of the preceding year, stating the total expenditure for lobbying activities in the employer's behalf.
Section six talks about what lobbyists
This is section seven, if there's no objection.
New eight.
I'm a racetrack.
I can't believe it.
2, it actually reads, no lobbyist shall attempt to influence the vote of any member of the legislative assembly on any legislation.
Well, I think, or influence any legislation.
On.
I don't think it should be on. I think it should be or the way it is.
Any member or.
You got to go back to influence.
No lobbyist shall attempt to influence the vote of any member of the legislative assembly, comma, or in legislation.
Or influence any legislation.
Or influence any legislation.
I think maybe if we had influence, it would be
better. Influence relates.
I think it's all right. I don't know why you had trouble. No lobbyist shall attempt to influence the vote of any member of the legislative assembly or in any legislation by the promise of financial support of. Definitely all right.
Promise of financial support of,
support of
or defeat of his candidacy in any future election.
Do we need any legislation? No lobby shall attempt to influence the vote of any member of the legislative assembly by the promise of financial support of his candidacy. Do you need any legislation?
No.
No legislative official shall receive consideration
other than from the state of Oregon.
Other than from the state of Oregon, we're acting as a lobbyist.
Section 10
or section 11?
Well,
office.
No, I mean in the...
Committee's prescribed in section 11 of the
Charter. Should be 11.
Yeah. Secretary of State may, one, make investigations with respect to statements and reports filed under provisions of the act, and with respect to any alleged failure to file any statements and reports required under provisions of the act, and upon signed complaints by any individual with respect to apparent violation of any part of this act. In making any such investigation, the investigating authority has the power to take in your evidence, administer oaths, and compel by subpoena the attendance of witnesses and the production of books, papers, and documents. We substituted the investigating authority for the Secretary of State.
Good.
So that one of the things that the commission had just filed. Two, issue.
And sure.
So it's actually, I am upon request, and publish advisory opinions on the requirements of the act based on a real or hypothetical set of circumstances, and three, prescribe and publish rules and regulations to carry out the provisions of the act, pursuant to the provisions of ORS Chapter
183.
Section 13. In addition to such penalties as otherwise may be provided by law, subject to such sanctions that either house of the legislative assembly may prescribe.
Spelling error there.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to have a little trouble with that or any rule promulgated. Well, she thinks that we've always had trouble when you put criminal sanctions on violation of rules.
What's it? Criminal sanctions.
Criminal sanctions. Civil penalties.
I think you were there. No, let me read it then.
It's up to such sanctions as either House or Legislative Assembly may prescribe. C. A. Violates any provision of section of this act. That was originally was just the reporting section.
Section 7, and what was it?
I believe it was.
I think now it can maybe be 6, 7, and 8.
5, 6, 7, and 8.
5, 6, 7, and 8.
5 is a requirement to file the original registration.
Right.
6 is the filing of the financial statement. 7 is the instigation. 8 is the...
No, 7 is the...
false statement, things of that nature. Probably should be 5, 6, 7, and 8.
B. Fail to file any report, registration, or statement or furnish any information required by ORS 171-155-775. 2. The sanctions referred to in subsection 1 of this section shall be uniformly applied to all persons subject to.
Violates any provision of section 5, 6, 7, and 8 we have above. Why don't we do that here? Or do this up above, one way or the other.
In the case of violation by an individual, such penalty shall not exceed $250 for each violation. In the case of violation by any person other than an individual, such penalty shall not exceed $1,000 for each violation. 2. The civil penalty referred to in subsection 1 of this section may be recovered in an action brought thereon in the name of the state of Oregon in any court of appropriate jurisdiction. In any such action, the court may review the penalty as to both liability and reasonableness of amount.
Reasonable
math. Is this your typing, Loretta?
No. Somebody else.
Good thing I'm not paid to be a typist.
Section 14. This act takes effect on January 1, 1974.
Bob,
you charge a fee?
We're charging a fee for all the political people who file under our
reasonable conflict
of interest.
$100? Pay the cost of all this?
Well,
Mrs. Paul has moved that we send the bill to the floor to do pass recommendation.
Any discussion?
Well, what about the fee? Does it, should we impose a fee for
the Secretary of State? Can't you do that under his rules?
You need a fee to file?
Yeah.
That's what, $5?
Well, we spend only $10 initially and $5 fee. Well, you got a monthly report. You could pay $45.
Well, it seems to me that the public's going to have to bear the cost of it too, you know. It's the public that's demanding the disclosure. It's for the public's benefit. The public should pay for it.
Legislative candidates and say we pay the cost, but we don't nearly pay enough.
How many lobbyists would you get? This would affect 500, did you say before?
Well, I think a lot of people have been knocking on your door, but that was covered. I don't think. It's, well,
month are we going to require the filing?
Monthly.
Every January or whatever. Well, unless you work during the internet. Yeah, but that's only $10 a year.
There was a provision in the original proposal submitted by the Capital Club that had some language in there requiring filing prior to each session, and I fear it was not very artfully worded, because the thought that it was supposed to convey was that it was a method whereby you could purge the record. Whatever you want to do about that, I think perhaps if you want some sort of enabling language in there to permit the holder of the record to be able to discard last year's record and start again from scratch every year, we need to put something in there, although it should be differently worded than started first.
I move that each registered lobbyist is charged $10 fee yearly for to help defray the expenses of the law paid upon registration. Be written into the bill.
It's upon registration and then by January 15th thereafter.
Well, you see, the bill doesn't become effective until January 1974. So.
The intent is that they will pay the $10 when they register. If the year comes around and they don't register, they don't pay it, but if they carry on any lobbying activity later on in that year, they'd have to register and pay the $10 there.
I wonder if we made the fee $12, then it would be easy to prorate.
Well, I don't
know. Because the expense is the same anyway.
No,
whether it's
required, I think, every year, and that was the thing that most people can get into trouble
with.
They're out.
Yeah, I agree. Is there any objection to that?
Nope. I'll move the bill to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Mr. Pollock moves it off the floor with the due pass recommendation. No discussion. The first call roll.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. When I did on the last bill, I asked Representative Blumenauer if he'd like to carry it, and he said yes, so I'm going to ask Representative Glenn if he'd like to carry this. Thank you all so much for your time, trouble, energy, and I think our work is pretty well finished, except for one, the Senate bill that they're working on. We'll see about next Sunday night. Oh, listen, while we're here, and there's three of us, what bill should we table?
2197 or something? Well, I was looking at the unchecked final, what is the status of the transportation?
I don't know that's going to be. I'm going to, once there's anything else to come up, I'm going to do it. Thank you.